This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A little bit more in the way of charity scoreboard, one of my favorite games.
People are really not happy.
I'm sorry, Jonathan.
They're not happy with that.
Do you want to read the tweet? Can you read the mean tweets yourself right now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'd love to.
You want to read them out loud?
Oh, yeah. This is great. Sean on Twitter goes, Jonathan's about the dumbest host 92.3 The Fan has ever had. At least Ken Carmen
Reckless
admitted
speculation.
To his buffoonery.
I'll confirm him.
Matt on Twitter, this was a good. I like this one as well. That statement and double down by @JPeterlin was Bo Jackson level.
Bo Jackson level. All right. By the way, Ken is listening at home right now. He said he was going to listen today, so maybe we'll get him to call in.
Why didn't he call in?
I don't know.
He tweeted at me. You want to hear what Ken said?
What'd he say?
Ken said, donating the money is still donating the money, though. Sheesh.
You got a sheesh from Kenny?
I got a sheesh.
All right, we'll see what's in store from none other than Bud Shaw appearing on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline from WKYC, WKYC.com. Welcome to the show, Bud. How are you?
Good, guys. You know, I'm excited to come on anytime the mean tweets are already been directed at somebody else.
It's a beautiful thing. I feel the same way.
Yeah, Wyman's in autopilot now for the rest of the show. He's like, wait, it's not on me, finally.
Finally. So I want to ask you, Bud, because I was there last night, Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. I know you've attended in the past. It's a great event. Cleveland should be proud of that event. I can't believe just how many people come together, celebrate all these great things at Cleveland Sports, and then we ignore an NBA Finals run by the Cavs. It seemed like that was the case last night.
Yeah, you know, Ben Axelrod and I started doing a podcast a couple weeks ago, and the most recent one, he asked that question, you know, who should win this award? Neither one of us mentioned Baker Mayfield, I've got to say. Ben felt, as you do, that, you know, anytime LeBron James plays in your town and does what he does, he's got to be the athlete of the year, and I don't disagree with that. I thought it was weird that he wasn't even considered, and I would have voted for Jose Ramirez, so there you go.
What? Wait, that deserves a... Whoa. Nobody wants to do it.
This guy was...
Not my show.
One home run and six stolen bases away from a 40-40 season for a team that won another division title. He finished third in the MVP voting behind Mookie Betts and Mike Trout. And we're going to say, oh, no, sorry, that's not as good as beating the Jets on a Thursday night and finishing 7-8-1 as the quarterback of a 7-8-1 team.
Sure. Although, Bud, I think in fairness, part of it is, let's not act like this is a fairness and equity award. I do think the fact that Baker was willing to go, they had Freddie Kitchens there, John Dorsey, I think that probably had something to do with it.
Yeah, and because he was willing to show up, you mean?
Yeah, you don't think that had something to do with it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Listen, I'm not trying to diminish the fact that he electrified the city. I mean, it just speaks to me as it has over 20-some years now that anytime the Browns show any glimmer of anything, you know, teams like the Indians and the Cavs, when they don't have LeBron, are, you know, fighting uphill.
But I think about this award and I think about what it does for Baker. Do we put too much pressure on Baker and just trying to prop him up every direction?
Well, I mean, I don't think he thinks that, you know. If anything, I think he seems a little amused by the fact that we get carried away like we do in this town. I mean, I think you heard it with Freddie Kitchens when he took over and said people are congratulating me for 7-8-1 and Baker saying, well, boy, this is not, you know, winning a one game on a Thursday is not, you know, what this is going to be all about. So I think he seems to have that kind of stuff in perspective. And I don't think he feels that he's being, that too much is being asked of him too soon. You know, I think he feels like he was ready at the beginning of camp last year. He's proven it everywhere he's gone that he shouldn't be dismissed. So I think he kind of revels in it.
right, Bud Shaw, join us on the hotline. You can also check out the Triple Play podcast over there at WKYC.com. So,
Anthony, can I ask you something?
Sure, go ahead.
That my Jose Ramirez thing just kind of hung there. Man.
Well,
you guys think that's ridiculous.
I actually thought Lindor was the better player this year, but all the stats guys are telling me it's not the case. I thought he was more consistent. I obviously thought he's somebody – maybe we're all getting a little crazy with a three-game sample size at the end, but obviously the last month-plus of the season didn't do Jose Ramirez any favors.
No, for sure. And, you know, I think, you know, the Cavs getting swept by the Warriors, the Indians getting swept, I think those things play into the way people look at those – at what happened at the end of those seasons. But what happened at the end of this season was this football season was these guys didn't even get into the playoffs. So, I mean, if they had been knocked out in the first round and Baker hadn't played well, would he still have been the athlete of the year? I don't know.
All right. Meanwhile, Chris Anning on Twitter says, throw Bud Shaw in a trash compactor next. Bud Shaw, join us on the hotline. Send those mean tweets at us throughout the day. Okay. So how would you compare, because you lived through it and you covered it, how would you compare the type of expectations that were thrown upon LeBron James to what I think is happening right now for Baker Mayfield, who's essentially been given the keys to the city?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, you know, one guy comes into it having been on the Sports Illustrated cover at age 16, but it's also a sport where the ball can, you know, always be in his hands in big moments. And I know you can do that with a quarterback in the NFL when the offense is on the field. I mean, I think LeBron was a much surer thing, don't you, than Baker is at this stage of his career? I mean,
wow,
really
that's a great
Tom
question.
Tom Brady would be the handing off of the Super Bowl rings and stuff like that. Would you pick Baker for that or Patrick Mahomes? I mean, I don't know. I think that LeBron is such a special case and such a special player that I'm, you know, reluctant to even compare anybody else to him and his situation coming into the NBA.
What was the highlight last night? Sandy Alomar Jr. or what?
Well, it was for me because, you know, that decade for me writing sports in Cleveland is still one of my favorite, you know, because of that, seeing what this town was like without the Browns and finally with this, you know, this team that had gotten good for the first time in 40 years. You know, I thought that and the personalities involved in the 95 season when they finally got, you know, really, really good. I thought that was kind of nice to see. I mean, he was a really special part of that team without getting a lot of the recognition that the really great hitters in that lineup got. And he was a big part of it. I was happy to see that.
I do have to say that the Sandy Alomar Jr. stuff is so amazing. By the way, electric personality, and even last night it was brought up. I mean, it's just a matter of time before he's going to have his own gig, you know, managing a baseball team. You know, you sometimes wonder what has taken so long.
I've been surprised by that, too. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Who knows? Maybe he's the guy to take over down the road after Tito. I'm surprised that doesn't get talked about enough, but you know, if ever there was an organization that would make that leap and allow him to do it, it might be this organization. With all of that said, I watched that moment. They had it yesterday crystallized again on that video tribute, which was so incredible. And I wonder if they put some of these out on social media. But, you know, that home run in the All-Star game, I mean, that is one of the – I know it's an All-Star game. I know it's an exhibition. But how many moments of all the Indians' moments in the 90s topped that one? That is an incredible moment, and everything – kind of coming full circle right there at Progressive Field at that time, Jacobs Field.
Yeah, that was an amazing year. You know, not only did we have, I believe that was the same year, wasn't it, Anthony, of the NBA top 50 All-Star game? Yeah. And then to have Sandy do that in his home park, you know, with his brother on the team, it was pretty remarkable. It was, he really felt kind of put upon here for a while because, you know, he knew how important just calling games was and managing pitching staffs and that kind of thing. And yet, you know, when he looked to be the weak link at times offensively, you know, we kind of pointed that out, and he always thought that was unfair. But he did a lot behind the scenes for that team. His brother was maybe one of the more high maintenance guys in a locker room that's ever been in a major league locker room. You know, and Sandy did a played a big role in kind of keeping Robbie, you know, on track when Robbie would feel slighted over something.
But over to the NBA, it'll be the Lakers and the Celtics tonight. Who are you rooting for when you tune in? Are you going Kyrie? You going LeBron? Do you like the dumpster fire that is Los Angeles basketball?
Yeah, listen, you know, I look at, you know, it's not that everything LeBron does is fine with me. You know, I was disappointed for people when he left again, obviously. But I'm really intrigued by what that team is going to look like in the postseason. You know, I hear Jason Lloyd on yesterday, and I've heard him say it a few times, that he still thinks that the Lakers are a team that maybe the only team that the Warriors are going to – I think he says that the Lakers, the only team they need to worry about in the postseason is the Warriors, which seems, you know, a little crazy when they're sitting there at 27-27. But I'm mostly interested in watching LeBron and how he gets this team ready again to go into the playoffs, because every time I've thought that there was too much drama around LeBron and a team, or it wasn't good enough around him, and we certainly saw examples of that here, you know, he's proven me wrong. So I want to see what he can do. You know, at some point, what is he, Anthony, 33 now, going to be 34?
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, he has to start hitting the wall a little bit, you would think, given all the miles he has on him. But I bet you it's not going to happen this year. I think he's got a chance of reviving that team, and that's what I'll be watching.
Yeah, but last night, way late, Kevin Durant was asked by one of the Warriors home reporters. He was asked by Ethan Strauss about, you know, what his thoughts are, what could be happening, you know, as he's looking at the landscape of the NBA and, you know, free agency. And he went off, and he said it's not his job to answer questions. He's sick and tired of those questions. He told the reporter to grow up. You know, do you think, as much as the NBA has dominated the headlines with all of the free agency stuff and potential trade stuff, do you think over time this is going to be healthy for the league or bad for the league?
I don't know. I go back and forth on that. You know, first of all, Durant's done this before. You know, he's had that kind of relationship with media where he thinks they're unfair to him all the time. I don't know if he thought that he would get more run out of, you know, what he did in the 2017 finals. It almost feels to me that the league still encourages these guys to – are you talking, Anthony, about, you know, the stacking teams and these guys joining each other?
Well, and the fact that a contract doesn't mean anything anymore. A contract's not a contract. Guys are now not just leaving when their contract's up at the end of the year. They are talking about demanding trades 2 years before their contract is up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's got to be bad for the league, but I haven't seen that evidence of it yet. You know, I mean, people still get excited about watching these guys team up and how good can they be and who can topple the Warriors. But, yeah, I find that really troublesome, that all it takes now is a guy saying, yeah, you know what, I don't want to be here. And then what does his franchise do about that? I mean, what are the Pelicans supposed to do right now? Are they going to play him? They don't want to play him.
It makes no sense to play him.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't want to get injured.
No sense. And then what happens, you know? Then you've got a fan base that's, you know, as we know from watching the Cavs here, you know, what kind of money these people are putting out to watch games. And are they supposed to sit there and happily watch him ride the bench if they can't trade him? I mean, it's a really bad scene, and I just don't know what the answer is. Do you have a solution? I'm willing to use your solution and act like it was mine if it's a good one.
No, I'd just rather read some of these tweets from Jim. Bud is so mad. The Browns are more popular than the Indians.
No. Not mad. That's just a fact.
Then we have GM Buddy Boy says Bud Shaw's an idiot. I thought he retired. J-Ram over Baker.
Well, one guy finished third in the MVP voting. Tell me where did Baker finish? Are we talking about a season that a guy had? Or are we talking about what we hope he'll become in 2019?
Well, I did ask the question, but going forward, are we just going to give the award Baker Mayfield every year? Are you going to name it after him? Because
I'll be like Les Levine. I'm not going to give away my best stuff.
No. You're going to save it for the podcast.
I'm going to save it for the podcast.
All right.
No, I mean, I do think this was more of a projection of the fact that people are so happy they finally have this, you know, this guy's a legitimate franchise quarterback, and I would never doubt any of that. I'm just saying, in 2018, which of these players had the best seasons. That's to me what it is. It's not who, you know, who excited the town. You know, we have the biggest moment for that. And I did agree on our podcast. I picked that Jets win as the best moment. And I felt funny doing that. You know, a win in the third week of the season, but you know, it's the one that unlocked the beer fridges, and the Browns became a fun team the moment he walked in. I would never try to minimize what he meant to the team and to the organization last year. I just don't think it was a season that compares with what, you know, Kluber and Ramirez did over 8-9 months.
All right, send those tweets to @BudShaw. We appreciate you coming on, Bud. Let's do it again.
Thanks, Bud.
All right, guys. See you later.
All right, there he is, Bud Shaw, appearing on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You know, look, a lot of people are going to crush everything he just said. I understand it, though. You know, we've kind of talked it out throughout the show today. I mean, Baker, without a doubt, he's what's next. Remember, ESPN the magazine always used to put, who's next, who's next? We were always obsessed about who's next. Baker's probably not even next anymore. He's now.
I just love that we're like debating the parameters of the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. And wait a second. Does that mean best season, or does that mean most riveting or most controversial or best for the city? Like, what does it mean?
Obviously, no one walks around the city of Cleveland trumpeting who's got the most Greater Cleveland Sports Awards.
You don't do that?
But it's symbolic. It's symbolic of how this city feels
at
a given time.
If you were to take a snapshot of last year, nobody is putting up a face of Jose Ramirez in the last month of the season he had, or the, 2-for-17 in the post, whatever his numbers ended up being. No one's putting that as 2018 Cleveland. 2018 Cleveland could just be the number 6, and we all know what's going on. You're weighing your options on this one. You sound sold. You sound bit. Like, all right, I'm in.
I mean, but even when Bud said, like, I even felt funny thinking that Jets moment was the sports moment of the year because it was a win. Lots of teams win games. But you know, in Cleveland, we don't. We didn't. We're 0-16. You're 1-15 the year before. You're 3-13 before
that. I liked the win, though, because I remember my feeling after the win. And I just,
it was amazing.
It was amazing. And just the videos. And I still remember all the tweets and just seeing the gobs of people outside of First Energy chanting Baker, Baker, Baker. Like, there's so
not
many memories.
Not what we were chanting.
But again, the we were chanting 1-1-1.
Yeah.
But again, it was the turnaround of the team, and especially the perception of the team.
Right.
And I think that's why it sticks out in so many people's minds, and I think that's why it won the moment of the year.
And in a weird way, it kind of envisioned everything about whether or not John Dorsey was right to take Baker over Sam Darnold, because it was Baker versus Sam, rookie versus mm-hmm. rookie. There was a lot there. I got it.
All right, when we come back, believe it or not, you thought football was over? You've got a huge heaping dose of football coming up this weekend, and I'm not going to watch any of it. Jonathan Peterlin will explain when we come back next here after the update with Jeff Thomas on 92.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.